As I swung open the shop door, my nostrils were assailed by a melange of perfume scents, my ears by the rustle of expensive fabrics. It was a place in which my neighbour, Miss Askew, would undoubtedly have felt much more at home than I. Feeling self-conscious, I adjusted my hat and ensured my hair was tucked neatly in place, attempting, no doubt fruitlessly, to exude confidence as I approached the counter. A very well-groomed lady narrowed her eyes at me, blinking her long eyelashes and tapping her manicured fingers on the desk. "Good morning," she greeted me insincerely, voice as sharp as broken glass. "How can I help you?"
I was wondering if a lady by the name of Emily Renfield works here?
Why do you wish to know?
I bit my lip and thought quickly, not having expected to be questioned. She used to lodge with me and left behind a monogrammed handkerchief when she moved out recently. I wanted to return it to her, but could not quite remember the name of the shop she works in.
The woman sniffed disdainfully, as though monogrammed handkerchiefs were dreadfully outmoded. "Well then, she is over there." She pointed towards a rack of dresses, which I could see a figure busily rearranging. "But you might tell her that we are a workplace, not a lost property office." I thanked her quickly, hoping I hadn't got this Miss Renfield into trouble. I hurried towards her, as though I was intending to speak to her, taking my own handkerchief out of my coat to make the ruse realistic. I stole a quick peek at Emily Renfield, but then turned the corner and hid behind a mannequin dressed in a ghastly pink frilly robe that resembled an unappetizing blancmange. I now had a small problem, as I didn't want to arouse suspicion by leaving too quickly. Nor did I wish to speak to Emily and make her aware that someone was looking for her. I had not been apprised of the full story, but it seemed foolish to engage with the object of the investigation, so I waited a moment or two before peering cautiously around the pink monstrosity to check whether the unfriendly woman at the counter was looking in my direction. As soon as she turned towards the ledger, I hurried out the door and met Detective Amanath on the street around the corner. I felt rather guilty, even though I had not done anything wrong except ask a question. I truly loved being a detective's assistant, but I would need a great deal more experience if even such a simple assignment made my heart race. "She's in there," I panted, before outlining the details of my brief inquiries.
"Did she look like this?"
Amanath presented me with a small photo of a young lady with a bundle of glossy black curls and piercing blue eyes.
"I only caught a glimpse of her," I nodded, "but that's most definitely she."
"You have done wonderfully well,"
Amanath congratulated me.
"It was not only a challenge of quick thinking, but of observation. I offered a few instructions, but you completed the task very imaginatively. You certainly have a proclivity for this line of work."
I grinned like a Cheshire cat.
"Who is she anyway?" I asked,
desperate to know why I had been sent on this errand.
"I am afraid I cannot tell you yet," the detective said, regretfully. "I will explain eventually, but the privacy of my client must be respected for now, until the affair is resolved. Thank you, Madeline, for a job well done."
I was very pleased and hoped I would soon have yet more opportunities to hone my skills. At the Premier Mutual, we met and heard about a variety of characters, some bizarre, some hostile, and some terrified to be interviewed by a detective. Our aim was to learn as much as we could about Mr. Willoughby and whether anyone wished him or his wife ill.
"Uncovering as much about the victim as possible is the key to a thorough investigation," the detective explained to me before we entered the tall, imposing building. "As we know little about Mrs. Willoughby due to her quiet lifestyle, the next best thing is to learn about her husband and his circles."
I was ecstatic to be allocated two interviewees of my own, and although they were only the receptionist and the tea lady, who would probably not have had much interaction with Mr. Willoughby, I was delighted that the detective trusted me to ask questions alone so that we could save time. I did not learn anything of use from the receptionist, as she had only just started with the firm, but I did obtain some interesting pieces of information from the tea lady.
Mrs. Bambridge, how long have you known Mr. Frederick Willoughby? I asked, pen and notebook in hand.
Oh, dear me. Well, now, I should say nothing short of 15 years, she said, with a thick Cornish burr, twisting her apron nervously in her hands as she perched on the edge of the chair, as if she were about to leap up at any moment.